Father and our God, we thank you. We bless you for the privilege of being in your presence. Lord, we are so blessed. And Father, as we continue with your presence, a habitation for your glory, a habitation of your nature. Lord, when you inhabit us, holiness is done. When you inhabit us, your nature is wrought, replicated, and we can move out in the fullness of your mercy. Thank you. As we minister again in your word, let it break every barrier. Let it break every hangover. Let it already bring into manifestation your truth and your mercy and say it is possible. It can be done by reason of the anointing. Every yoke that holds us back is broken, loosened unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. And let the church say amen. And let the church say amen again. Praise the Lord. God has been with us. And I can tell you, as you had begun to hear from January 1, God is in his business again. And let those who have ears hear and keep on to God. None of his words has failed, and none will fail again to the ground. They shall be fulfilled to the letter in the name of Jesus. Take care of them, capture them, seize them, lay them in your heart, and like we said before, get your notes and your pens and write. And go back as Berean Christians and read, meditate, walk in them. The Lord shall fulfill his goodwill in our lives and through us this year. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is expecting something of this church this year. That's God's universal expectation of the church. But we don't know what others have decided to do. But you and I, there's something God is expecting of us. I'm sure you have heard it for the umpteenth time, that God says here is his sanctuary. It's not just for speaking. God does not waste words. God doesn't speak for speaking's sake. God doesn't hang him. His words are precious. At a point in time in Israel, the Bible says the words of God were precious. People were not hearing God. They were just moving around in motions. They were coming for temple worship. They were coming for religious observances. They were coming for services. The world could close, but heavens were closed. But God has decided to open heavens on behalf of this church. And for us, brethren, it is a privilege. For you who are part of it, is a great privilege. And may the Lord who has been speaking to you and keep speaking to you, find you a worthy vessel that can always accept and move in his power again and again in Jesus' name. And so in keeping with God's word and covenant with us, in Zechariah 14, verses 20 and 21, God says that is expectation of us as a church, as a body. Zechariah 14, 20, in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pot in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem, and you can transfer that to every pot here in Chapel of His Resurrection, every pot in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and sit therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanites in the house of the Lord of hosts. At that time, even the harness on the horses will have the label holy to the Lord. And all the pots used in the Lord's temple will be just as important as the bowls used at the altar. And all the pots and everyone who worships here, big or small, the youngest one, the student, the person who sells by the roadside, the applicant, the apprentice, all the pots in this temple, in this sanctuary, will just be as important as the bowls used at the altar. In fact, every dish in Jerusalem and Judah will have the label holy to the Lord All-Powerful. Everyone in this sanctuary will have the label, and not just the label, but the lifestyle that says holiness unto the Lord. Everyone, no exception. And all the people offering sacrifices, lifting up hands, coming to pray, coming to praise, coming to worship, they will come they will take those dishes, every one of them, and cook their special meals in them. Everyone looking for blessing, every angel on assignment will find everyone here, each pot. Those that were for ordinary uses, those that were not for any purpose, all of them will not be at the same level. And all of them will be at the level, spiritual level, physical level, emotional level, anytime level, holiness unto the Lord. Oh, no exception. That's God's expectation of the church this year. And it will happen with their cooperation and willingness in the name of Jesus Christ. And God concluded by saying, at that time, there will not be any merchants buying and selling things in the temple of the Lord. Those are the Canaanites. There are merchants in every house of God. They buy and sell. They come to transact with God. They give God a condition. If you haven't found me a husband, 1 month, I go my way. If you don't answer prayer my way, I go another place and ask questions. And Boaspa and Joase. God, if it is not my way, let nobody talk to me and say, thus says the Lord. They are merchants. They are buying and selling. They are in transaction with the Lord. Everyone who has already made up his mind and his heart, this is the way it must be between me and God. And they command God and pocket God and say, God, I'm coming here because I'm expecting that in the next 2 months, I will have my salary. I will have my exams. I will pass with distinction. I will have every other thing that makes life meaningful. I'm getting them at my own set time. And they give God a condition. They are merchants. There are also others who have come with other motives. And they say, let's go there because we can find somebody to marry. We can find somebody who can place us somewhere. Good intentions, but they're like the Canaanites. They are like those who stay in the outer courts. They're like those who God cannot use for any purpose. The Canaanites have no inheritance in the things that God has talked for his people. And that's why God has been speaking again and again. There are people who will hear him. They will remain in the periphery. Those things will happen, but they will happen behind their back. It will no longer be your portion in the name of Jesus. And so every pot, every cooking pot, every member, every individual, every young man or old, you have the capacity, you have the ability this year to live a holy life consecrated unto the Lord. That level is not just an outside level. That when God looks in the morning, holiness is a level there. He comes back in the afternoon, holiness has not changed. He looks in the evening again, that same vessel is ready, available, prepared for God's use. With it, he can cook meals, special meals for blessings and grace in the name of Jesus. That's what he's expecting of you and I as a church. Ephesians 5:27 paints it better and puts it in a more contentious way. God has given us the picture in Zechariah. Ephesians 5:27, it says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's God's expectation. What was addressed in Zechariah was at the end of days, end time events. What is addressed in Ephesians 5:27 is the end of times again. And friend, make no mistake, we are at the end of times. We are at the end of times. That's why God took us back to holiness. That many started and they have compromised. Many started and they have a name that they earn in the Lord. They call upon the name of the Lord, but they have not departed from iniquity. The ones they departed from, they have embraced them by the corner. They have embraced them in the hostel. They have embraced them in business practices. They have embraced them in their relationships. They have embraced them with their tongues. Things you couldn't say before, you say them with ease and no qualms. They have embraced them with their barrels. They can sign away 10%, 20% without any tinge of conscience. And that's what God is saying. That's the end of time. And Matthew 24 says, iniquity shall abound. That's the time in which we live. That people will rationalize many things. And the ones that looked unholy, they will say, that's what society accepts. The ones that are immoral, they say, that's how young men and young women live. The ones that are abominable, they say, look, every young man has a right to exercise himself. You must not remain like that. Man, no be wood. Body, no be wood. who must find somebody. It's my sister in the Lord. And you're in fornication. God says, no, it's not. And he's expecting a different standard. And he says, iniquity shall abound, that will make the love of many who are in the church wax cold. Many of the things will be observances. May rituals. You've gotten used to them. When we are praying, you can switch to speaking in tongues and switch back again. And you can do it with ease. You can pocket your hand wherever it is and speak to that guy up there. You've taken so much things for granted. And God says, no, these ones are like Canaanites. And I have an expectation that when I look back into the church, I will see a glorious church not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing. If there is any other name that has not been mentioned and covered with spot or wrinkle, God says, even the ones you haven't found in the scripture. Because there are many also who say, show me where God said, you must not drink alcohol. You must not dress like this. You must not appear like a prostitute. You must not be like a masquerade. Show me any such thing. When God inhabits your presence, you don't need argument. You don't need any argument. He says, I have an expectation of you. And every one of us matters in this matter. He is expecting that we should be holy and without blemish. And if God expects it, friend, it is possible. Friend, it is possible. My brother, it is possible. My sister, it is possible. Let nobody say anymore, it is not possible in this present day Nigeria to live a holy life. It's a lie. Let no one say in the institution, it's not possible for a young man growing up with all the hormones and a young lady to remain holy. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Let nobody tell you, look, if you stretch your hand is never so straight. It will bend at the elbow. Just the way the elbow bends, no life is ever straight. It's not God who invented that one. If God says that he's expecting to be holy and without blemish, is exactly what he's expecting. And he will find it in you and I as we make ourselves available in the name of Jesus. So as a church, that's what God is expecting. No less standard. No change. Nothing has changed. And for us as individuals, in Obadiah 17, it says, upon Mount Zion, anywhere where the children of God gather is Mount Zion. There was a physical Mount Zion. There is still a physical Mount Zion in Israel. But there is also a spiritual Mount Zion. And in Mount Zion is wherever the redeemed of the Lord come to call upon the Lord in righteousness. Upon that place where you gather every part, those that used to regard themselves as ordinary before, God is saying this time, every cooking pot, the ones for washing the feet, the ones fit enough only for garbages, all of them should be holy like the pots where in the sanctuary. And friend, that includes you. Let the spirit within you agree it is me. It is possible. I can live within the realms of God's provision. And so he says, upon Mount Zion, there shall be holiness. There shall be holiness. And there shall also be what? Deliverance. And the children of Jacob can then possess their possessions. The prayers to the answers to the prayers we have made and will make will come. But a man who does not walk right with God, they are temporary. The devil will puncture them. No wonder he could not puncture that of Job. Even when hardship came along the way, as we have heard, in Job 1:8-10, the devil himself provided the clue. God began with a testimony and said, have you seen my servant Job? A man who is upright. A man who hates evil. A man who eschews it, shuns it. Even when it is coming his way, he doesn't give excuse and say, well, I tried, but I could not. Everybody was in it. When evil is on the way, he shuns it and says, keep your distance. I am a cooking pot of the Lord. I am holy unto him. There's a limit to which you can go. And God made that testimony. And the devil already complimented it without knowing and said, God, were you not the one that formed the hedge round about him? That's what God is expecting of us. We heard it before. He's emphasizing it. That's God's expectation. There shall be holiness. No other currency is good enough for transacting with God in your life this year. Praise the Lord. None. None. If you had transacted with any other, it will not go. It will not fly. You heard it January 1, you're hearing it again. This year is rough, it's turbulent, a year of many looks. And that's why God asks you, look up. If you look sideways and look down and look around and compare yourself, you will have trouble. You will sink like Peter. You will remember the past and never be able to move beyond it. You will not go beyond their nose. Look up. Ye of many looks. But as many as dwell in righteousness, as look up to the rock from where they are hewn, they will be delivered. And not only delivered, they will increase. And not only will they increase, they will grow. That's why we read in Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 2. They will increase and grow. That's God's portion for us in the name of Jesus. The currency for that transaction is holiness. A life that can sustain His presence. And so for individuals too, He's saying every pot, every person, every student, every other worker, all of you at the same level. Let no one say, I'm an ordinary church member. And an ordinary church member doesn't go this year. Anyone who is serving God at the periphery, you are at risk. God has not told you that's where you are best for. You are at risk. So if you are at the periphery and say, there's no commitment on my side, I'm only there to take and take again. My name is taken. You are at the mercy of the elements. And so God is saying, if you would transact with me and receive mercy, a holy life, a holy vessel, a holy mind, a holy thought. And 1 John 2:6 says, those who say they abide in Him ought themselves to walk the way He Himself has walked. Those who say they live in Jesus ought to live the way Jesus Himself has also lived. And Jesus was the one who announced to us, the Prince of this world comes. He has nothing in me. Jesus was the one who said in John 8:46, which of you accuses me of any sin? And no hand was raised up. And Jesus was the one who said, and the Bible told us in Hebrews 4, that He Himself, the high priest of our profession, had walked on this earth, clothed with the same human nature. He was subjected to the same temptations that you and I are today buffeted with. Yet in all of them, He did not sin. Those who say they abide in Him should live the way Jesus lived. So look up. Look up to Him from where you have come. No excuse for any other lifestyle that dishonors God, that is a reproach to Him. God is asking, looking from in to the outside. That is the expectation of us. Those who speak English tell us that a chain is as strong as its weak link. A chain is as strong as its weakest point. Did you get that English? A chain that is very strong. How you will know how strong that chain is where the weakest point is. What will happen at the weakest point? It will break. A chain that is used for guarding people, gauging things, putting them in check. Once the victim knows where the weakest point is, that chain has lost its power. He's losing. Friends, every one of us has a stake in the matter of holiness this year, in the name of Jesus. Everyone, including you, it took only one man, just one man, by the name Achan, in Joshua chapter 7. It took only him. I guess Achan told himself, I'm an ordinary member. I'm just a Sunday school person. I'm just in the Sunday school teaching. I am just a secondary school student. I am an apprentice. What I do will not matter much. Only required for Israel to be humiliated and for God to seemingly disprove their lie was for one Achan to manifest. And they suffered humiliation. And they suffered defeat. And they suffered God's favor being lost on them. You will not be the Achan in the name of Jesus. Because you will come into the link. Even you who will be weak will be strong of God who makes you holy in the name of Jesus. All he also took for Israel at a point in time was another man, a Phinehas, who said, God, if you can find me in Israel, you can restore righteousness. You can restore your favor. In Numbers 25, Israel had lost favor with God. Israel was doing all the things that their neighboring lands were doing. They were in adultery. They were worshipping strange gods. Everybody was looking right, left, and center. You didn't distinguish between who called upon the name of the Lord in righteousness and the person who said it just to fulfill all righteousness. They were like the others. And God's anger fell on them that in one day more than 23,000 people were killed on the spot. And some people even looked and poked a finger in God's face. Because they said, look, you've been praying to God. Does God strike people down dead immediately anymore? Does God come and open and expose our sins? He will do it again. I can tell you this year in the name of Jesus. He says it, he will do it. Last year there were a lot of cover. But this year, as we are talking holiness, and the devil also arises in ferociousness, God will also manifest his power. But let him manifest over you in grace and glory in the name of Jesus. So he took a Phinehas to arise and restore God's favor. And God had to vow and say, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, had removed my anger. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, had made the thing that defiled for me to look down again. May you determine to be a Phinehas in the name of Jesus. God, if it took only me to stay in this church, if it took only me to be a Christian in my neighborhood, if it takes only me to be a Christian in the office, if it takes only me to stand for you in the school, I would be that Phinehas. That's what God is asking for. Every pot, no matter how neglected of men, can rise to the pot that I can use to offer sacrifice in the sanctuary. That's God's expectation. And if he does and expects that, you can do it in the name of Jesus. You have a role, and the Lord will manifest his grace upon our lives in the name of Jesus. There's something God did when he was trying to paint the picture of holiness to the children of Israel. We just want us to catch the burden because we want to keep with our time. In Exodus 28, look at verses 1 to 3. God painted a picture to tell them the many activities that they engaged in the year, from January to December, in their school, in their hostels, in their searching for job. He painted a picture with the robe and the wares and the decoration of a priest. In Exodus 28, he says, verse 1, take unto you Aaron, your brother, his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. That even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons, you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall make what? Holy garments. Everything from head to toe was to be a holy garment. Symbolic. Verse 3. You shall speak to all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, how they will make the garments to consecrate him, to make him holy, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. And look at the many parts of that wear of the priest. Verse 4. These are the garments they shall make: a breastplate on the chest region, an ephod, a robe that is worn down, a robe that goes down, an ephod is a sleeveless robe, a broidered coat, a mitre that is like a cope or a hat, and a girdle like a belt. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. So ideally, every of the garments from head to toe is a holy what? Garment. But God became particular. Look at verse 33 of Exodus 28. Verse 33. And beneath, upon the hem of it, you shall make pomegranates of blue, of purple, scarlet, round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe round about. It shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he die not. What did we hear God say now? Make golden what? Bells. Attractive to the eye. Full of what? Sound. Is that not what bells do? Make them. Put them at the hem. Put them at the edge of Aaron's garment. Put them there. And each step that Aaron takes, what will happen? The bells will say, they will clangle and say, Aaron is alive. He takes another step. What will they say? Aaron is alive. Anytime the sound of the bells were not heard anymore, Aaron may be deemed to have died. That was what happened with Zechariah. The moment he went into the Holy of Holies and no sound was heard of him, quietness in his encounter with the angel, they assumed because there was no bell that Zechariah may have been done in. And they had a long rope with which they would pull him. But thankfully enough, before they could take action, they heard the bells again. So what do the bells signify? Alive. Activity. Alive. Activity. We are moving up and down. We are moving up and down. That's what God said. Those will not be enough this year. He says many are in the circle of activities, making a lot of sound and noise. We are alive. But that's not what will make me accept what they are doing. Look at verse 36 now. He says, you shall make a plate of pure gold, grave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Put it on a blue lace, a ribbon, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. Let it be placed where? Upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be how many times? How many times? How many times? People are not with me. How many times? It shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. What is God saying? Ring all the bells. Move up and down. Engage in all the activities. Have all the decorations. Have all the paraphernalia of Christians. Have the make of holiness, but lack the power thereof. Have the mountain of holiness. Have the songs composed by choir, especially in holiness. Have everything that the church can say. Have all of them. But don't have holiness itself. Every other thing is not acceptable. Prayers, not acceptable. Life, not acceptable. Service, not acceptable. Offering, not acceptable. Can you imagine what will happen on a great day? A great day of anniversary. A great day of celebration. Many people are coming for Thanksgiving and God was to be besought. And then they run in a hurry and say, this is a great day. Put on all the paraphernalia for beauty and glory. And Aaron say, look, these ones are too many now. I don't need to put the one, holiness, to the Lord. That one can wait another day. The ones I have are enough. What does God say? Once he enters the sanctuary and begins to transact with God in worship, in song, in hymns, in any way, and he does not have holiness unto the Lord, every other thing that day is what? A wasted effort. Friend, God is saying, that's a symbolic picture. Anytime, anywhere, in any situation where we are found this year, and holiness cannot be associated with it, a waste. A waste of no amount. You can tell me unbelievers, they also prosper. Yes, but they have a limit. They have a limit. The psalmist said, when I went into the sanctuary and thought within myself and meditated, I saw their end. But if it is them who you will be envy, then may God help you in the name of Jesus. But if you want to be called by the name of the Lord and look up unto the Lord, he said, always, all garments, whether it's the occasional garment or the ceremonial ones, whether it is the occasional outings or in the kitchen, wherever it is, always holiness unto the Lord. And what is holiness? We will close with that so that we can move on because of our time. What is holiness? What is holiness then? If God has been stressing on it, every pot can be holy. Every pot. No longer the ones in the altar. The cooking pots. The ordinary ones. They can be holy. And God says they can be without blemish. They can be without any iota of death, spot or wrinkle. Look at our own working definition of holiness. It doesn't change because that seems to bring in what holiness is. Some of us will look at holiness in terms of the where, we'll have time to expand on that. Some will look at holiness in terms of the building. So because God says this is a sanctuary for me, anytime you enter here, you become a holy wedge. Anytime you enter here, I will do no evil, say no evil, think no evil. But anytime you leave, you become the same Agowur again in the things of the world and in the things of the evil. Some of us will think about holiness just maybe in the terms of an event. Christmas is coming. Lenten season is coming. So let us just be holy for this period. Even the Muslims, I heard one of the Amalam say that during the month of Ramadan, every Muslim is born again. A Muslim cleric said that. So they borrow the words. They know what it means to be born again, even if it's being misused as it were. So there's a period associated with holiness. Every other period, live the way you are. No. There was an encounter between Jesus and a man who was not even in the inner circle of his disciples. A man who was living his ordinary life. But Jesus saw that life and elevated it and said, that's holiness. And said, that's my nature. And said, that's what we want to see in you this year. John 1, 47, 48. Please read it in the version you have. Whatever version you have, just call the version, read it, because that's where we're ending now. John 1, 47, 48. Hallelujah. King James, I saw you. Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. That's what Jesus saw. Just 47 now. Other versions? Yes.
They approached. Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity."
A man of complete integrity. Genuine. Genuine before heaven, genuine on earth. His word, his life, they are in tandem. He walks his talk. Any other version? Yes, sir.
When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false."
Nothing false. Tongue, heart, motive, outside behavior, nothing false. Transparent. Maybe we'll stop there. But the definition of holiness came in the next verse. And Nathanael asked, "I'm not one of your followers. I'm not among the 12. Actually, a while ago, while discussing with Philip, I was arguing with him whether anything good will come out of Nazareth. How did you know me? How did you know me? Who told you about me? Who displayed my character to you? Who showed you my innermost thoughts? Who told you that I'm without God? How did you arrive at this assessment of me?" And Jesus gave him the definition of holiness that God is asking us to walk with this year. He said, "When you were in that remote place, far beyond any human eye, before even Philip saw you and called you, I saw you." I did what? I saw you. What is Jesus saying? I saw you and I saw your life before anybody did. 12 midnight, I saw you. Teaching, I saw you. Farmland, I saw you. Negotiating for that contract, I saw you. Walking on the road, I saw you. When you were being abused right, left, and center by the Okada man, I saw you on the road. Exam hall, I saw you. When the other person who knew you was there in Lagos when you went to look for a job, I saw you. I saw you. I saw you. And that's holiness. Holiness is who you are when God's eyes are on you. Holiness is the measure of the nature of God in your life and my life. When God saw you, what did he see? Jesus saw Nathanael and said, transparent, complete integrity, genuine Israelite, true son of God, true Christian. I have seen no falsehood. I have seen no hypocrisy. That's holiness. Who you are under the eyes of God. Who you are under the searchlight of God. That's holiness, my dear. If you know that God's eyes are on you there, what you will not do when his eyes are looking at you, koro koro, in the open, you will not do when you are conscious of his presence. And as I was saying, I will make my life your dwelling place. I will walk with your presence. Friends, God is watching us how many times a day? How many hours a day? How many minutes in an hour? Every moment his eyes are on us. And so when you say they run, must wear holiness always. So that each time he has any transaction with me, it will be acceptable. No moment should be a moment outside God's eye. And his eyes see far and wide. So his eyes are on us 24 hours a day. And holiness is who you are when God's eyes are looking at you. In secret and in the open. That's holiness. The measure of the nature of God in you as he sees you. Friend, if you understand that, you don't need any other teaching. You don't need any headmaster. You don't need any pastor to put you right. You automatically know that where I am is where God says I should not be. His eyes are here. I'll pure eyes and to behold evil. You will understand why Joseph, even when he was in a foreign land where he could misbehave, where he could go in a different culture, where he could say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Where he could say, my master's wife commanded me. Where he could say, they seized my dress. Joseph still understood that even in this foreign land, God's eyes are on me. What was his answer? How can I commit this great sin against God. Friends, that's what God is inviting you and I to live at the level of this year. Live at the level where God's eyes are on you consciously every minute. Hallelujah. And it's for good, but we'll stop there for now. If God's eyes are on you every moment, can you derail? Can anyone overpower you? Can the devil take an advantage of you? He will watch over you and watch over your interests. And as Psalm 91 told us, that his angels are at his command to preserve you in all your going in and what? Coming out. That's a positive aspect. But it also does something for us in a practical way. God's eyes are on me in the dark. When I want to misbehave, his eyes are here. When I want to initiate thought in motive, his eyes are here. And what his eyes see that are no longer of good, of pure eyes, then it has missed the mark. It has missed the standard. God is inviting you and I to a life this year where his eyes are upon us all the time. To do us good and to lift us to a standard where the pot, even at the outskirts, will be as holy as the pot in the sanctuary. And you are that person and you will live that life as you make yourself available in the name of Jesus. Shall you open your heart and let us pray? God's eyes on you all the time. I don't know what you did last week. I don't know what you did at the break of the year. I don't know what you did when the year was turning in. I don't know where you've been at the beginning of this year. I don't know what your life has been secretly. And nobody saw you, not even your spouse, not your parents. God's eyes saw. And he's asking you, he's searching holiness. Who are you? Who are you before God? If you understand yourself, there are many things that will no longer take place. There are many words that will no longer come out. There are many transactions that will no longer be undertaken. There are many associations that will be broken. Who am I? When God's eyes are on me, can you present yourself before God and say, Father, I want to be entire, holy before you, clean and proper, in all ramifications. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy, dry as dew, with thanksgiving, I'll be a
yourself. And those who are ushering, please, I want you to settle down. It's serious business that we're doing right now. Forget those who are anything. There's no need, because even God's gifts may end up destroying you rather than being a blessing. Let's rise up on our feet. Let's just rise up. Can you just hold your Bible? I want to read from Ezekiel 9. Because when God begins to speak a thing, there is something that is ahead of us. And he has said it in different ways. There's something that is ahead that is making him warn people. Whenever he goes about declaring this kind of thing, which he has confirmed in the mouths of different people as well, there is something that is ahead. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. The Lord himself, not another person, not the devil. The Lord said there, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. He's talking about people whose hearts have been created, have been made as gold, and who God has engraved holiness upon their hearts. And he said, make a mark. When he's talking about making a mark, it's because there's something that is about to happen. And we have had that confirmed in different ways. There's something that is about to happen. And the Lord is going, I want to make a mark and engrave something upon the foreheads, upon the hearts of people. And he said in verse 5, and to others, that is the other people that he has raised up, the army that he put and put weapons in his hands, he said in my hearing, go ye after him, go after the first person that set the mark and smite, let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you've done. You don't know the ones I've done. I want us to get angry at anything that will keep God from achieving this in our hearts. Hallelujah. Anything it is that is known by our past, that we have handled, that we have touched, I want you to get angry at those things. It shall no longer be in your life. It shall not be in my life anymore. Lord, let my heart be marked. Let my heart be marked even as a gold plate. Let my heart be marked even as a gold plate. Let my heart be marked even as a gold plate. As we will take this song and then I want you to pray. Onyendi mozi na madu nekene. Onyendi mozi na madu nekene. Onyendi mozi na madu na pisiala. Onyendi mozi na madu nekene. Onyendi mozi na madu nekene. Onyendi mozi na madu na pisiala nye. Anye tie nzo. I cannot remain the same. Can you begin to cry to him? Lord, this year I will not remain the same. Lord, this year I cannot remain the same. Lord, this year your mark, the mark of holiness, Lord, shall be engraved upon my heart. Lord, it shall be engraved upon my heart. Lord, it shall be engraved upon my heart. Lord, it shall be written upon my heart. Lord, anything that has been keeping you from turning my heart into that plate of gold, Lord Jehovah, King of Glory, I'm dropping it, oh God. I'm separating them, Lord. I'm separating them, Lord. I'm not going into this year with them. Lord, I'm not going into this year with them. Lord, anything, oh God, that would have made Nathanael to be disqualified, that would have made Jesus not to recognize him, any day, anything that would have made him just to be one of those who are walking about and entering the temple and going, Lord, whatever shortcoming, Lord, whatever has been humiliating, oh God, even my heart, whatever has been humiliating me in integrity, whatever, King of Glory, has been a wrong thing that has been written, shall we cry to God about those things? Lord, it shall not be so for my life even this year. Ask the Lord, Lord, let my heart be as pure gold, as pure gold, as pure gold. The vision for the year is first for I that is here in the sanctuary. Lord, not just about my neighbor, not about the person that is next to me. Lord, it's for me, Lord, that I may be spared in the days, oh God, when they are going, oh God, to put a sword through the hearts of those who are known for iniquity. That, Lord, I will be spared. That, Lord, I'll be distinguished. That, Lord, I will stand, oh God, to be the
they want to declare your counsel. Lord, that I will stand, O God, like Phinehas, O God. Ask the Lord as He's bringing His word over the air. Whatever thing that will make it such that as His word is coming, is just jumping out of your life. Bible says that the seed was sown, yet there were people the soil was hard. There were people who the soil was like rock. Some were like sand. Some had no depth. Whatever it is that will make the best of the earth to be stealing the seed. They have been speaking to me. I've been hearing God's word for 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, and there's no change. Every year I'm dealing with the same sin. Every day I'm dealing with the same iniquity. I'm dealing with the same temptations. Whatever thing that repels your word from my life, King of glory, I ask for a tilling of the soil of my heart. Oh God, I ask for a tilling of the soil of my heart, that your seed, oh God, will bear fruit. Oh God, will bear the fruit of holiness. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I want you to hold the hand of somebody next to you. We're going to pray corporately for even the chapel worship here, as this year vision filters through over the year. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Another translation says, which is your spiritual act of worship. And we're going to ask the Lord, first of all, concerning the worship. There are 2 points we'll take there. Concerning the worship, there are many people who lead us in one way or the other. In choir, they are leading us. In drama, there are people who come here to act. Ushering, there are people who are there. There are people who are also walking in different places. And many people here whose hearts have been prompted to join to walk. We're going to ask the Lord. There shall be no Achan even amongst them. People can enter a congregation and they are in sin. But God's hand goes upon them, and the expectation is that they change. If somebody doesn't change, the person doesn't have a business being here. The person can go to where people who are unchanged are. If the person refuses repentance and turning around. And we're going to ask the Lord, whether it's from the choir, those that are drama, those that are doing this one, doing the coordinating on Wednesday, coordinating on Sunday, going to sit down there, even going to sit at the altar, whoever they are, let's ask the Lord, there shall be no Achan in our midst. Hallelujah. There shall not be anybody who will wake up even from under a man and come here to lead worship. The Lord will isolate the person and send the person away. If the person refuses repentance, and if you are the one and you're still planning the one you're doing, please, it will be better if you don't like repentance to separate yourself. There will not be somebody who will do things and filter his hand with evil and come and be leading and be acting drama. No, not this year. This is not what God is saying. He's saying there is a mark I'm putting on people's heads. If somebody decides to remove himself from that mark, he's putting himself at a risk. I want us to pray concerning this place. Whoever is walking, whoever is leading, whoever is doing one thing or the other, shall be under God's influence. None of so anyone who refuses.